It's summertime, summertime, summertime.
Hey, it's summertime, and the 4th of July is right around the corner. Well, I don't know about you, but the Appliance Discounters is taking the 4th off to spend with friends and family. Did you plan on appliance shopping? Well, no worries. You can shop from now until July 3rd and get the lowest price on all appliances, including Bosch, GE, Frigidaire, Samsung, and Speed Queen. Not only the lowest price, huge cash rebates on select appliances. So enjoy the 4th of July outdoors like you're supposed to with friends and family, and God bless the USA.
Summertime. Back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wait for it. Sort of touched on the vanity plate with Kenny Wallace. I guess he's getting one is his point, because you can save on the tax dollars if you do a historic plate. But I wrote this down last week when we were leaving the Blues Museum. And I think we started to talk about vanity plates, and we said we'll do it next week. What they should be. So if Chuck had a vanity plate, could be Toledo, Lansing, my wife. Any of these would work. And then,
what are you about to say?
It would be
over there?
It would be the UP, but I'm trying to think
UP,
about how to
yeah.
make that look like not the up.
Peoria.
It'd be the UP.
Duh, because that's why, or THA, the UP.
Hey, the UP. Hey.
The Youpers.
So something like that.
Brendan's would be big kid. Hey, the big kid, right?
Yeah, from the one person in my life that calls me that, yeah. Yeah.
Brennan's would be
the guy that won't even go to the Columbia game. I'm going to base my whole vanity plate based on him. That's fine.
I heart SABR for Sabre
Sabres.
That would be a good inside joke.
Or how about not RBI?
I told you yesterday that I think you like FIP more than I do. So I don't know.
I have nothing against FIP.
I do.
Really
I don't
nothing.
Like it.
Well, I said last week that, and I haven't looked lately, but I'm sure it's the same, Lance Lynn's FIP this year is actually the outlier of his career when you look at the fact that his ERA is basically the same. His FIP is much worse this season, but that's actually the outlier compared to his previous years.
Right, and you know who else doesn't like FIP is Skip Schumacher. I did look up his FIP. It was like 8.5. That's
for
not
pitching,
good.
Yeah.
ERA was like half then.
Who pitching? Jared Schumacher? Charlie dusted off Skip's pitching career stats.
Skip Schumacher also pitched in our Legends game, and he can still bring it, and he works very quickly.
I liked his answer on Izzy and these guys throwing 80, whether it's you or a female, because he's like, they can't alter their speeds. He said the same way John Lester just can't throw to first. Some of these guys, they just can't like ease up.
I understand that. Your arm slot, you just have to go with it. It's just kind of the way you throw.
You can suggest those vanity plates for us, just like Waino got new plates. They say blah, blah. Lance Lynn is big person. But I bring this up because we mentioned it Friday, and as I walked outside of the Blues Museum, people are crossing the street. There was a lot of activity downtown on Friday. It was good to see.
We're a big city.
Pre-eclipse activity. And these people have the right-of-way. They have a walk sign. And this car is turning into the walk area. And, like, just keeps going. And these people are, like, stepping back, like, throwing their arms up. You know, I would have done a little middle finger probably at that point. But they were, like, outraged. And I just see this car, like, they're not stopping. So I kind of walked towards the middle of the street. I wanted to see. And it was an older lady. And then I checked it out. Her plate, I'm pretty sure, not trying to get anybody in trouble, Illinois plate. And it said Rita 68. And I said, here's the downside of the vanity plate. You do anything stupid, you know, and granted, it was just a bad turn. Maybe she wasn't paying attention. Maybe she doesn't like people. I don't know. But immediately, I'm like, Rita 68, they're nearly plowed into a bunch of people. If it was 7XZY54, you'd be like, I have no idea. But the vanity plate jumps right out at you, and I was thinking, it can backfire, Toledo.
It's funny you say that, because as we were leaving.
Wasn't that funny?
No, listen, true story. I wish I had video of this. As I'm driving up Washington Avenue, I got on 44, there was a woman in front of me who I could tell she was distracted as she was driving. I think she was looking at her phone. We're at a light, and honestly, I don't know if her car was messed up, but she goes from being right at the traffic light to basically going due right, like into the sidewalk, into a bunch of planters, and just smoked her car. So I stopped thinking, is this woman, is she okay? Did something happen? I'm dead serious.
I saw this, where she hit the trash can?
Yes.
And her front left wheel was spinning in the air?
And so I stop, and she gets right out of the car, and she's healthy, and she looks, and she's like mad. I don't know what happened, but she literally went from being straight at a stop sign or a stoplight to just going diagonally to the right and smashing into planters and whatever it was on the sidewalk.
I saw that. I was thinking that Hadley said something really funny on the hard line, and she just, like, steered off the street. I must have been right behind you because I said, I've never seen it before. Her friends were outside the car, and she's, like, gunning the accelerator. I'm like, the front left wheel is just spinning in the air.
I think the car must have just, something went wrong, but it was weird because it wasn't like something where you're texting and you swerve a little bit. It was from straight on to I am going to plow into the sidewalk.
And so did you see it happen?
I saw it happen. I was right behind her. And I stopped because I was going to get out. I thought maybe she had a heart attack or something. And she gets right out of her car. She's walking around. She's mad, obviously, but she was totally fine.
And you said, hey, ma'am, you're not allowed to park there. Just trying to help.
I said, hey, you listen to the Midday Grind?
You want a bumper, sticker? It is the Midday Grind, 5-9 of the Fan. So if you have suggestions for our vanity play, like gardeners would probably be like Guardsy, of course. Bear, this is an old nickname, right? A lot of inside jokes going on.
May I ask also, text line, please text in.
855-282.
Are there more vanity plates in Illinois? I think there are. Because when I went to Bradley, so I'm coming from Ohio, I get to Bradley's campus for the first time in the year 2000. I've never seen so many vanity plates in my life. So I'm wondering, is it cheaper in Illinois to do the vanity thing than other states? Because I swear every kid, maybe it's also the fact that it was college kids and more people of that age will do the vanity plate thing, but I swear I see way more in Illinois.
Wouldn't it be funny if you pulled into the Cards parking lot and like Matheny rolls in and says Skipper? You know, I mean, I don't see too many vanity plates on those guys. I mean, especially if you're a player like that, you don't really want the attention. You know, if you're Adam Wainwright and you got a nice car, you're not putting Waino on the plate. So everywhere you go, people know that it's you. It's kind of the movement in local television is to not have your logo and stuff on the side, because then people say, oh, you got equipment in there. Hey, it's valuable. I'm going to break the windshield. That used to be the big thing, and now they've slowly gotten away from that in some markets. Nonetheless, our game we're playing now is pay way overpaid, way underpaid, or
Let's start with Brendan Schaefer.
Way underpaid.
Overpaid.
Very valuable.
Overpaid. You don't even know what I make.
That doesn't matter. You're overpaid.
Ouch.
Overpaid. Wow, you guys do hate each other.
No amount of value I could provide would make it worthwhile.
I'm just kidding.
If you go to a Mizzou game with me.
Wins above replacement.
I don't sound like that.
Wins above replacement. OPS plus. I'm going to say Schaefer is like a 115. That's pretty good, right?
I would take that.
This is Cardinals related. I don't want to ruin your little game here.
Oh,
this is Cardinals.
Whoa, I didn't come up with it. I like the idea that Charlie had, though.
All right, Adam Wainwright is making $19.5 this year. Now, this is a tricky argument because your immediate thought would probably be overpaid. We're not talking about history with the organization, legacy, value, and
just 2017
stats, etc. But he does have 12 wins.
The team is 15-8 when he starts. That's better than any other pitcher.
And look, there should also be some value. Now, I know he's on the DL right now. There should be some value, though, in the fact of you're taking the ball for 30 times
Correct.
Per season, which he did last year and up until this current DL stint. So while it's certainly fair to say he's not up to that $19 million, I don't think it's that far off.
I think it is kind of a
I wouldn't say that. I would say slightly
under,
overpaid.
Slightly overpaid.
For 2017.
So you added, we had three options. You just added a fourth.
Well, no, it's just going to be underpaid, overpaid, or fair.
Fair. So that was, you said slightly overpaid. That's not one of the three you mentioned.
So I'm going to say overpaid. I was trying
is
to be
Is this
nice.
Like the Strick?
So he doesn't blah, blah, blah.
Does this remind you of take it to the bank or rip it or slip it or dip it?
And he's got a story about it, and it's going to be great.
I just said overpaid.
Fowler, Dexter Fowler, 16.5. Now, if the numbers continue? What are his projecteds? Would he end up with about
Here we go. I got
21
him.
Homers and about 80 RBIs, 75 RBIs.
I brought these up here. Dexter Fowler has played 93 games. So what is that? That's about two-thirds of the season in terms of games because, of course, he's been on the DL. And he has Dexter Fowler. Where is he? He has 15 homers, 49 RBIs. He is hitting
projected.
.262, a pretty darn good on base of .363, and I would say a better slugging percentage than most expected at .488. So I would actually say that that is a fair deal for Dexter Fowler.
Mike Leake's at $15 million this season. I think we can all agree that's a bad number. Now, some of these are going to be in their favor, and that's probably how it works out in baseball. God, we're getting a deal with that one guy, but we're getting ripped off with somebody else. Yadier Molina this year, he's at 14-2. Of course, it goes to 20 next year. Molina at 14-2. I think all of these that we've done so far, it's hard to digest the big number, but you have to keep it in baseball terms. You know, Clayton Kershaw's making, what, like 30? Gets starting pitchers going every 5 days. Molina, a little bump.
Fair.
I think that's probably okay.
Molina's is fair. .278 average, .311 on base, .434 slug.
I didn't realize that Matt Carpenter this year was at 10 because his deal kind of averages, what, 5 or 6-ish? And sometimes when they sign an older player, free agency like a Peralta, they'll go the opposite. They'll give him a bunch of money early, pay a lot up front, and then kind of wind down that number so in case they have to DFA, it's a little cheaper. When they do these Piscotty, Carpenter, Wong, lock them up deals, the number gets bigger typically later. So Carpenter's making 10. But again, baseball money,
Marp,
that's
16,
probably fine.
16 bombs, 60 RBIs, .246 average, very good OBP of .381, slugging .441. I would say that's absolutely a fair contract.
And his deal overall, 6 years, $52 million, is in the 8-ish range, AAV, average value, signed through 19. That's one where it worked out for them. Now, we can get mad about some of the base running mistakes, but overall, that salary for him, that's a good deal. Brett Cecil, 4 years, $30.5 million. He's getting exactly all of that, I think, each year. $7.75 million. I think that's obviously overpaid for the production you're getting.
Agreed.
Lance Lynn at $7.5 million, this year, final year of his deal, way underpaid.
10-6, 3.05.
Wins don't matter. Wins don't matter.
I'm just throwing it out there. 3.05 ERA, which is the fifth best in the National League when I looked it up yesterday, last night, so if that's changed, but it was 3.05, fifth best in the National League, whip of 1.17. I don't have the FIP here, but 144 and two-thirds innings. I think that's absolutely a great contract for the Cardinals.
Sidebar tonight, Lance Lynn, do you see a shove? That's got to be seven. That's the thing. He's been around six every time.
It's been six lately.
Can you get seven out of him tonight? Maybe you don't want to this late in the year if you don't have to. Do you see a shove?
I do see a shove, Martin.
Ooh,
I do see a shove. Seven innings, two earnies.
Trevor, one-year deal, of course, about to be a free agent. He'll be what, arbitration eligible this year? Is that right? Then free agent after...
Well, he's arbitration eligible
again.
Already,
right.
And he'll
so
have
again.
One more year of control next year.
So he made 6-4 this year. 6-4 this year.
Very fair, I would
That's
say.
That's very fair for what you've been getting out of him.
3.4 ERA, tons of strikeouts, and where's his saves? Rosie has 11 saves.
Jerkstore is at $6 million. You're getting good value there.
Very fair.
Zach Duke, $5.5 million. Now, this is complicated. For what you've gotten from him, you've way overpaid. But for a guy who was out with Tommy John, the fact that he's back at all is a mild surprise. But you're not getting a whole lot for your 5-5, but you're getting something.
8-5-5. 7 innings, an ERA of 3.86. I think if you project it, and again, it's hard when somebody's injured, but that seems like a fair contract for Zach Duke. But it's hard to look at that when you just get him and then he gets hurt.
His deal is up after the season. Carlos is in the first year of his deal. He's only at 3-7. That's a steal for a guy who is the ace of the staff.
That contract will go down in history as one of the best contracts in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow.
Carlos Martinez is his long-term deal.
Wow.
The best years of his career, I believe, through age 31, for something like 7 years and I think $86 million. We looked that up.
And Michael Wacha, still under control. He's at 2.775 this year. This is the most numbers we'll ever read on this show. That's
great,
also a
great
steal.
Contract.
That's a steal. Sohn, and this is a whole other argument about next year, do you want him back? And I think a couple of weeks ago you would have said, I don't know. I got Rosie now. I got some young arms coming up, and I could probably live without him. If you find out, and that may be something you find out today pregame, that Rosenthal is done, he needs surgery, or there's decent chance he needs surgery, have you changed your opinion about Sohn for next year? Because that was a deal. That was a great deal. They find this guy, and this year he's only making 2.75. I know he hasn't been great.
You don't want him as your closer, though, right? I can see as a depth piece. If Rosie is out,
so don't you think
and
you
we're
have
speculating,
to have him?
I don't mind him being in the bullpen, but I don't think you should lock him in as your closer on opening day 2018.
Oh, 100%. But I'm saying 2 weeks ago, I don't think you even necessarily worried about him coming back, even as part of your bullpen. And now I think you say, I kind of need somebody out there with a little bit of experience. He's not going to be my closer, but...
But don't you think there are a lot of guys like Sohn? For example, if you don't bring him back, there's a lot of people out there like Sohn that you could sign for 1 or 2 years. So I hate to say it doesn't matter, but I don't think it really matters.
Aledmys Diaz is at $2.5 million. Granted, he's sitting in Memphis, but it's not killing you, right?
Correct.
That number's not killing you. You got Colton Wong, again, one of those guys that was locked up, signed through 2020. He's making $2.5 million. Brendan Schaefer. We'll write a blog post later tonight saying how he is wildly underpaid.
He is.
But it's going to work out. I mean, he's going to get 25-5. 5-5 out of the deal. Seagrass,
8-5-5.
$1.6 million this year. Piscotty, $1.3 million, early part of the deal. So his number, I guess, is going to, like we were saying with Carpenter, goes up a little bit later. He's only at $1.3 million this year, Piscotty. Big disappointment. That's going to be a big offseason question. You know, can he finish the year strong? But no matter what, you're going to go into the offseason saying, boy, you really had a down year. A lot of circumstances went into it. But what do you really have going forward in Piscotty? I think that's something they're going to be asking this winter.
And also, I think it's fair to look at Major League Baseball contracts. For example, Aledmys Diaz. It's easy to say this year, bad contract. What was he making, $2.5 million this year? I'm guessing he was making a similar amount last year when he probably gave you like a $20 million player. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So when you look at it, in the path of totality, eclipse talk. I mean, last year, if you get that guy for $2 million, whatever it was, and he gives you an all-star season, it's easier to look at this year. And we're all surprised by it, but not a huge, eyesore of a contract.
And then you get into the Grichuk, Lyons, Garcia, Bowman, John Gant, Sam Tuohy, who's up, he's down, he's all around.
He's good.
Jose Martinez.
Don't you feel pretty good about Tuohy? You feel a lot better about Tuohy coming in than a lot of other bullpen pieces, I would think.
And you also have, among those names, so nobody really jumps out other than Mike Leake, right? As far as money, just you're not getting much for the dollar. Some you could argue, it's kind of a bad deal. It's a little bit of a bad deal.
And look, even with Mike Leake, we know it's been really bad lately. But if you look overall, the fact that he's made all his starts, and I believe his ERA is a little over 4, and it's gone south quick. We all get that. But if you look at league average, again, that's not even a horrible deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could say, okay, maybe he deserves to make $12 million or $13 million a year. It's those contracts where the guys are going out there and they're hurt and they're just getting blown up. I mean, an ERA of 7. You don't see guys like that on the Cardinals.
They're also paying Peralta. They're paying Broxton, a couple of guys who are gone. And I think they're still paying Brian Peña.
And also Ty Wigginton.
He is. But on the whole, a lot of that stuff evens out. And Tommy Pham, $535,000.
Absolute steal. Look at that. I would love Schaefer. There's got to be a website. You can look up what has Tommy Pham been worth this year, or what will he be worth? Will he be a $17 million value for $500,000?
Same for a Paul DeJong making the minimum, right? And there's a guy. I wonder, you know, when they do all those projections, they always seem to have an idea of who it is they want to lock up. You know, Piscotty basically came up, late 2015, played well, continued into the NLDS against the Cubs, and had a very good 2016, and then boom, he's locked up. Wonder what that window is. You don't have to hurry because you can get burned on it. You don't have to do it either. But I wonder if Paul DeJong is halfway through next year, still crushing it, if he's one of those next guys to get locked up.
I still, though, and we talk about this all the time and we critique them, I still think it makes sense to give those deals, though, because when they hit, they're amazing. And that's the thing, like with Carlos Martinez. We just talked about the fact that Clayton Kershaw's making what? $33 million. Zach Greinke's making $32 million. The Scherzers of the world. And I'm not saying that Carlos Martinez is up of that ilk, but he's not too far behind them. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you're going to get his absolute prime years, 7 years for, I believe, $86 million. Think about that. What's the best pitcher in baseball going to make per year 5 years from now? Probably $40 million per year. Right? So when you get those deals and they do work, for example, if Colton Wong continues to be a guy who's hitting 300 on base, 380 plus, whatever, and slugging 440, that'll be a fantastic deal.
And even the jerk store, I think San Diego's paying a little bit of that too, right? So the point in all of this is, sure, you're top heavy. You have five guys who are making double digits or more this year, but you still got plenty of money to spend. Wainwright's coming off the books, I believe, after next season, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
I think the deals that are much worse are when you give the aging player that extra year where maybe you don't want to do that, but you have to get him to sign. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be those years where it's the guy and, oh, okay, now he's 36 and he's making $18 million, or now he's 37 and he's making $20 million. Those are the contracts that are really albatrosses.
The Midday Grind here on 590 The Fan. Fun with numbers, Chuck. I'm just going to call that segment Fun with Numbers.
Great segment.
Well, I think the idea was overpaid, underpaid, meh.
So fair to say, not as bad as maybe perceived?
Well, that kind of was my point going into this, that you always think, God, they're wasting so much money, and this guy's not as good as they think he is. And then you start looking at the payroll and what they're paying guys and the going rate in the big leagues. You're like, really? What, Carpenter's getting 10? You know, the going rate in the big leagues? That's everyday first baseman. It's not that bad.
But it's
you're saving a ton with DeJong and Pham, yes. Doing what they're doing.
Also fair to wonder, though, what we've seen the last couple outings from Wainwright on the DL, what will that deal look like next year? Do you know what I'm saying? That could be a bad one. With Yadier Molina, what will year three of that extension look like as an aging catcher? I think those are also fair questions.
Correct. And then you got an Alex Reyes next year who could be making like a half mil, and he could be in your starting rotation. And that's the math for every team, right? Other than, I guess, the Yankees still have a few of those. But for the most part, every team's going to have real high-end guys, and then you get lucky with a few guys that are young and aren't making much money.
And some of these are TBD. For example, Mike Leake right now, you're like, okay, if he continues to pitch the way he did the last month or so, and then you have three more years of that, then you're saying, okay, what the hell do we do?
And again, we'll see if we get an update today on Trevor Rosenthal, what's next for him. I think Derek said on Friday what's next is a second opinion. What are they going to do with his troublesome elbow? How long is Wainwright out? It's Luke Weaver's job for now. So they've kind of answered that. I don't know how Weaver's going to do. Mike Claiborne was saying that earlier with Frank. You know, everyone's clamoring for Flaherty. Got to have Flaherty. Well, last year, everybody said, well, bring up Weaver. Give it to Weaver. I think more people last year were saying bring up Reyes, and they went to Weaver first. And some of that had to do with control issues. I feel the clamoring last year was more for Reyes, and then they went to Weaver.
But I think last year the clamoring for Reyes was in the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I understand. Look, and I got texts about it yesterday about Alcantara. Alcantara, we all know, he's in Double-A. I just think that when you look at pitchers who – They're stretching them out to be starters. Alcantara, maybe long-term, he's better in the bullpen. All I'm saying is, even though his ERA is 4 or whatever it's been, he's been really good lately. You're talking about a guy, Jason Simontacci told us, Alcantara sits at 97 as a starter. All of a sudden, if you put that guy in the bullpen and you say you're going to throw 18 pitches an outing, you're probably throwing 100, and stuff plays. So it wouldn't surprise me. They're probably not going to do it, but it wouldn't surprise me if an Alcantara came up from Double-A even and had success as a major league bullpen piece. Same with Reyes. He surprised me what he did at the end as a starter in the big leagues. But I don't think it surprised anyone that a guy who is one of the top prospects in all of baseball that was put into a bullpen role had a ton of success. I mean, the guy throws 100 miles an hour.
And I think the point is, even if Flaherty takes a leak start, and doesn't do well, I think you can look in the mirror
you tried
and accept that.
Yes.
And if you say, well, we're not sure he's ready, we're not sure how he'll do on the big stage, we know a lot more than you guys do, I understand that. But if you bring up a guy who is a stud prospect, you try and get, maybe it's a home start, if you can do that instead of putting him on the road, whatever you have to do to make it as comfortable as possible, and he doesn't do well, people would say, you know what, that's fine. You went with a guy that it makes sense to give it a shot. However, if you roll out Mike Leake on his next start and he gives up 7 earned runs in 3 innings, people will say, why? Why would you do that? Because you almost don't. Now, could Mike Leake give you a good start his next time out? Sure. Anything is possible. But you don't have no reason to believe that that's going to happen.
It also seems like he might honestly need a break. He might have dead arm, whatever it is. That happens. It seems like right now with Mike Leake, even though it doesn't look like he's injured, that he could use a stint on the 10-day, just kind of reset. You know what I'm saying?
I could use a 10-day
reset.
We
all could. Don't you feel refreshed and rejuvenated once you come off a week vacation?
They'll you know say it, they could even say it today. And I don't think they will, but they could say, well, Mike's got a little shoulder inflammation. He's got a little elbow discomfort.
And he probably does.
And just say he's going on the 10-day. And then if that doesn't work, the Scott Kazmir DL. Did you see that?
It was
a tweet. I think Randy Carricker retweeted his son's tweet, and it was a Dodgers actual transaction of notes about who's on the DL and why. Scott Kazmir, it said, you know, it didn't say elbow irritation or shoulder inflammation. It said trying to increase velocity. That was his DL designation. He's on the disabled list trying to increase velocity.
King Felix. Felix Hernandez, he had some bursitis. Mariners guy, right now, what's he doing? He's strengthening his arm so that when he comes back, he can have that same velocity that he's had, hopefully, in the past. All I'm saying is this, and I hope this happens. When rosters expand, if the Cardinals do bring up some of these guys, whether it's a Flaherty, Alcantara, maybe not, whether it's Dakota Hudson, whoever it is, they bring up...
What about there's a new sheriff, Ryan's coming up.
Okay, but if they bring up any of these guys that we know about, the more high-end prospects... I hope they do really well, but also I hope it's not a situation where all of a sudden the Cardinals surge a bit, and then at the end of the season, they miss the division by one or two games. Because you can say, well, why the hell didn't you bring them up 2 weeks earlier when you were struggling?
And we'll have the audio to play that we did say, what the hell is wrong with you? Get on it. Maybe a word about Ryan Kelly, and then we'll get to what have we learned today, today's takeaways. You can always text those in as well at 855-282-8255. Mad scribbling today. I wrote a lot of stuff down.
I have a hot take on Lover's Leap. But first, a word from our sponsors. Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Check him out on the web, thehomeloanexpert.com. Did you know the average American household has over $16,000 in credit card debt, and over 70% of households have the equity in their home to get rid of it right now with a cash out refinance? With the Home Loan Expert team, you can get those credit cards paid off once and for all. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com. Back to you, Morty.
All right, today's takeaways. If you live in the Ozarks and you get to work on the show, you get to call Justin Bateman, JB. The eclipse did, in fact, bring the Ozarks together. Maybe all of us, for that matter. I also learned that a turkey and cheese sandwich is a redneck sandwich, according to Kenny Wallace, who also likes to hang out by himself at Ruby Tuesdays, even though it's a little bit expensive. Schaefer likes to break for squirrels. Kenny Wallace did once hit a deer, Highway 61 and 67, but he didn't stop and gut it. Charlie says this show gets in the way of his lunch eating.
True.
I believe I noted that a little bit earlier. The Lover's Leap. I wrote some stuff down, but I'll let you have that.
Lover's Leap. I have been to Hannibal, Missouri a couple of times. My parents like going up there for all the Mark Twain stuff. And there's a Lover's Leap up there. And the story behind it was back in the day, you had a couple Native American tribes, and they were warring tribes. And there was a man and a woman from the different warring tribes, Martin. They fell in love, but they couldn't be together because they were on opposite sides. So they all of a sudden, they go to the edge of this cliff, and both the tribes are there, and they're wanting them not to be together. They decided to jump over the cliff because they'd rather die than not be able to be alive and not be together, Martin. That's Lover's Leap, Hannibal, Missouri.
I had written down that Lover's Leap, not as romantic as you might think, based on not just your story, but also the history at the Ozarks. Gardner, what'd you learn today?
I didn't write anything down.
Good for you.
I played the role of Chuck.
I do have a text, though, pretty good. Somebody saying, I think it's only like $6 extra for vanity plates in Illinois. That would explain it.
That would explain it. Schaefer, did you learn anything on the show? Probably not.
No, I just more and more come to understand that Martin's never going to come to a Mizzou game with me.
That's not true. I'll go to a Mizzou game.
Oh, no, it's fine.
All with you.
Martin's like specifically as a group, as a team.
How about this?
Bonding experience.
All right, Charlie and I'll go. We'll take our wives. We'll go to a Mizzou game. And then we'll meet you after at like Harpo's or something.
Ouch.
Does that count?
Ouch.
Is that different?
Let's do it.
Tomorrow, we're coming to you live from patios. Looking forward to that. The Midday Grind from noon until 3. Rankin Jordan, always looking for volunteers. So if you got a little bit of time, check out their website, rankinjordan.org. I tell you about this organization all the time, but the easiest thing to do is read about the history in St. Louis. Started in 1941. Imagine the legacy there. Mary Rankin Jordan said, I want to help these kids. So they open a hospital. It's called the Home for Crippled Children, which I know sounds really archaic these days, but that was the idea back then, taking in kids that had nowhere else to go. And really, that's the tradition now, because Rankin Jordan takes kids who leave other hospitals but aren't ready to go home just yet. They transition at Rankin Jordan. Doesn't matter how long it takes. It's the reason it's called a bridge hospital. But it's a great organization. Don't take my word for it. Go online, read about it, some of the amazing, inspiring stories that are taking place right now at Rankin Jordan, and you can help out if you have a little bit of time. And if you'd like to get involved with money, you can do that also by reading more at rankinjordan.org. We'll see you back here at noon tomorrow. The Hardline coming your way next on 590 The Fan.